Good to be with you again. Share the word of the Lord. Trust it's becoming more and more a desire to know more of the word of God. Hungry for the word? Yes? That's what leads us, guides us. The word of the Lord. It's a light to our path. Lamp. Guides us, leads us. The word of God. The anointing. Are we all familiar with the anointing of the Holy Spirit? We all flow in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You want more? Greater move of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we need it in our churches. Need a fresh move in our churches. Yes. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in 1 John, and you might want to just note it here, and I'll just maybe just work with this for a little bit. I do have something I really want to continue on from yesterday, but it tells us here, it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Everybody say, it abides in me. And turn to somebody else and say, and abides are you. That's the anointing. That is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who quickens us. He's the one who makes us alive. He's the one that makes the Word of God alive. It's the one that quickens the Word and brings it to our attention when it needs to be brought to our attention, either for ourselves and or for somebody else. So you work in the gifts of the Spirit of God. We need to be familiar or know the Word of God, because that's what the Holy Spirit will work with. He'll give you eyes to see, ears to hear, which the Scripture says again, 1 Corinthians 2, they have eyes that do not see, ears that do not hear, nor is it entered into the heart of man, except by the Holy Spirit. Except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks and he directs us. I want to encourage you today that in whatever area that you're in, wherever you're working, whatever you do, whether you're an employer or an employee, doesn't matter. Whether you own your own business or you don't, does not matter. But to see that in every day there's an opportunity for you to share the light, the love, and the power of Christ to somebody. Can we say amen? Amen. I was with, mentioned to you yesterday, I was with Morgan and Banks and in Auckland, based in Auckland, but with a national role. And there were the times when the directors would meet with directors of certain companies, some of our corporations, and they would find that they came to a point where they could go no further, if you like, because there was a blockage somehow within the life or those who were running the business. And there were times when the chair, MD of the company, would come in. And he would come and sit down for a few minutes and he would just talk and said, I've just been to Company X and we've been talking about this and we're trying to get through into here, but there's some personal agendas or problems, more problems in the lives of those who we're talking to, and we can't get anywhere until we can somehow get our hands on what that problem is. Would you go and have a cup of tea with them and a cup of coffee? Wasn't to carry on with what they would do, but it was to try and bring out what is the problem there from a spiritual perspective. Their respect for me was not just as a consultant to bring in revenue for them as a business, though I did that. That was what I was employed to do. But it was in some instances that they would come. They recognize that God is on you, in you. They recognize that. They say, well, I need you to go and talk to so-and-so and see whether there's some way in which you can help them. Because the end result is, if you're able to shift them, then we're able to come in to do the business that they want to do, which, of course, is what they're all about. What I was about is to try and release whatever the blockages are within people. Can we say amen? I'm a great believer. I've probably been a troubleshooter in my years of business, employed to do that, find out what the weak points are in business, and find out how we can either increase revenue on one part, but also increase bottom line. What is it? How do we do this? What are the blockages here? So it's to identify blockages. The problem, of course, today is that often we have blockages, which in the same way that we might apply it to business, the blockages stop us flowing in the realms of the Spirit of God. Are you with me here today? And I want to speak to you about that just for a few moments, about the anointing of God, which will actually release those blockages. Now, brothers brought up about the wells today. There's a scripture in Genesis chapter 26, and it says this: Abraham had dug the wells while he was alive, but when he died, the scripture says, and Isaac went and he redug the wells. He redug the wells. There's four of them. The first one, and I'll give it to you, it's probably worth you just noting if you're not familiar. Is anybody familiar with this? You are familiar, so I don't need to deal to it. Okay. So the first one is, it's a well, it's called, this is in Genesis 26, it's verse 20. And a herdsman geared, they strove with Isaac's herdsman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of that well Essek, because they strove with him. Now, the name of that well, in those days, when they named something, it had a meaning to it. Every name had a meaning. Every town name had a meaning. Every well had a meaning. So they named it after that experience, whatever that was. This well was named Essek, and it was because at that point there was contention for it. There was a contending for the well. This is from the enemy. The Philistines, usually in here, the context of it, the enemy was fighting for the ownership, if you wish, of that well. What had happened, that from the time that Abraham died until Isaac began to redig this, the Philistines, the enemy, went in and filled these wells. They blocked them. They stopped the water flowing. And because the water stopped flowing, that had an impact on the land. And therefore, it has an impact upon the sheep and the herds and everything else that goes with it. These wells were actually stopped. They were not producing water to bring life to the pasture. So this first well then, when Isaac came, he went and redug this well. But this was a well of contention. Sometimes there's contentions. It can be a blockage within us that stop us and stop the flow of the Spirit of God. We're contending with somebody, people, sometimes in our workplace. You'll find that you're in contention with them for something, over something. Well, that stops the flow of this. We get out of the contention. Can I encourage you to get away from the contention? Resolve it, if there's the ability to resolve that. Ask God, give me a word that's going to release this contention. Is that okay? The second one here, the name of the second well was called Sitna. And that word Sitna means a well of hatred. This was a place of hate. I don't know whether you've experienced when people sometimes might come against you or come at you because they despise you or they hate you or whatever it is. The devil's good at that, and people are possessed with the devil. Often you'll find those kinds of contentions, and you'll find those kinds of hates. And sometimes when you are prospering and you're doing well, people will dislike you or hate you because you are successful. They hate you for being a Christian, in fact. But the Scripture warns us about that in Galatians chapter 4, when it talks about Abraham, who had two sons. And one was of the bondwoman, and the other was of the free woman. Okay, so they had two, and it tells us there that the son of the bondwoman would persecute the son of the free woman. It is a principle. There will always be a contention when flesh operates. I'm sorry to say, when flesh is in the church, and it is, and it operates, it is a contending spirit. It is a persecuting spirit to the Spirit of God. We must understand that so that we can deal with that and pray against those things in those realms to make sure that the flow of the Spirit flows. Often the Spirit won't flow because of those kinds of points. We've got to get back to the realm of the Spirit of God and allow Him to flow. Is that okay? Now the second one here, the third one then, is called Rehoboth. And that's in verse 22. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. That word Rehoboth means he's made room, or he's made a broad path for me to walk in. He's widened the path. It's a broad way for me to walk. He's given me a road, a pathway of prosperity, of blessing, or of provision, or whatever that might be. But he's broadened the way. Hallelujah. You're thankful for that? It also talks about it being a fruitful pathway. And then the fourth well, which is further over, it's in verse 33, and it says, and he shall be called Sheba. And therefore the name of the city became Beersheba. That was a well of covenant or oath, where a promise was made in relation to walking with God and an oath for that. There's four wells there. Let's see that we don't stop at number one well, nor number two well. Let's move on to number three with a broadened way for us to know, and also for that place of covenant with God, that covenant with the relationship with Him. Out of your innermost beings, we touched on that this morning, out of your innermost beings shall flow rivers of living water. This He spoke of the Spirit. Out of us comes the flow of the Spirit. Out of us should flow this, the Word of God. Where's the Word of God? It's written upon our hearts. Ezekiel 36, I will take out of you a heart of stone. That means a unbelieving, hardened, unbelief heart. I'm going to take it away from you, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh in you. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to write my word on your heart. Are you with me? So that we take the word, it's placed within us, and we take the word and we renew our mind. We think like God thinks. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Holy Spirit is working within you, and he begins to quicken scripture, the word of the Lord, the answer, the words of knowledge, whatever is appropriate to the person that you're with. You don't have to stand up in the coffee shop and say, thus saith the Lord. You can just convey it to them. So I think that the answer for you, sir, is this. And begin to speak the word of God. With that word of God is going to have the unction. It's going to have the breath of the Spirit. It's going to have the power of the Spirit of God. You want to talk about the manifestation of the kingdom of God? There it happens right now. That's how it happens. Went out with a solicitor. Solicitor had some problems. We were sitting in his office. I needed to talk to him about some aspects of business and so on, and talk to him. And he said, can we delay our discussion until later? Let's go down the road and have some lunch. So we walked down the road. As we were walking, I said, tell me a little bit more about yourself. And he told me, and he said, he's a Christian lawyer. And he was an international, he served on the bench at international cases, had quite a reputation. We're walking down the road. He says, I have a complaint in my body, and two of them. One, which he mentioned, and the other, he said, it's just like every now and again, it's like I'm just not there. I space out. And he said, it's a concern to me. I said, well, we'll pray. When we get back to you, we'll pray. We'll believe God that whatever this condition, it's going to go. And so we went down to the mall, wherever you came from, the both play where the shops are. We bought our lunch and we sat down at the table here. It's crowded now. Everybody is in. We're eating our lunch away. We're just talking away. He gets halfway through his bun and he just... I thought, oh, that's great. That's just wonderful. This is one of his space-out times. With all these people here, crowded around, us taking the last table that's available, and he's got to go and space out right now. I mean, what do you do? Well, thanks. You pay the bill when you get up. No, you can't do that. You can't leave. So we reached across and took a hold of his hands. I said, Father, I don't know whether this was self-preservation or whether it was just needed to get him healed, but we'll say it's the latter. We needed to see him healed. And Father, I just release the power of God into this man right now. Whatever this condition is that's touched his body, I take authority against it, and I release him from it right now in Jesus' name. And he sat up as if though we had been there all the time. I mean, you just got to do it. I mean, how do you postpone that till Sunday church? You're in the marketplace, and that's where the needs are. There are plenty of needs in church, but we see that those needs are in the marketplace first. They're in our community first. They come to church because hopefully they're trying to find an answer to their need. But there's people out there that do not come to church or used to be, have given it away. They need to hear the word of God. They need to hear. They need to know. They need to see. They need to, to understand that the anointing of God doesn't just get released when you come to a meeting. The anointing of God, you carry the anointing. You carry the mind of God. You carry the Spirit of God. You carry where you go, he is. Where he is, you are. Are you with me here? You are the answer today. You are the answer to your colleagues. You are the answer to your staff. You are the answer to the people next door. You are the answer to those who you work with. You have the answer for their life. Hallelujah. You are the answer. Turn to somebody and tell them, you are the answer. It is important, brethren, that we do understand these things. It is important that we understand and that we are functioning in these areas, because this is, we talk about so much, don't we? I love to get on to the message. If you just said, would you teach us something that's on your heart personally that you like to teach? I would teach you on faith and I'd teach you on the kingdom of God. They are the two major things of the Word of God. We need faith to operate. We need to understand the kingdom of God to release the power. Remember, we touched the scripture yesterday, said the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. The kingdom of God. As you speak the word, the power of God will function. As Jesus has said, I now give you the word of reconciliation. It's for you to now do what I did, you do. You take my word and do the things that I did, you did. He didn't do too much in the temples except clean it out. What he mainly did, he did out here, wherever we were. That's where the church has got to get back outside. When the church gets outside, the church will get full inside. Until it gets outside, it'll continue to empty because of what church has become in so many instances. Are you with me here? I have a passion for the church, but I have a passion to see it being effective in the community in which it is established for the purposes of establishing the kingdom of God. They are the answer to the community. We are the answer because we are the church. We're the called out ones. Are you with me here? Would you like to turn with your Bibles to the book of Corinthians? Has anybody got any questions on that aspect of the Holy Spirit? Is anybody blocked?
I'm not blocked, but I often get confused with some of the songs that say the Spirit rain on me and all these things. Well, I always call the Spirit in here because God doesn't take the Spirit rain. We walk away from God. We go cold. And we need to turn our eyes back on God if we want that fire of the Spirit to operate.
Absolutely.
Some of these songs are actually in some of these words.
There they are. The cloud's gone. That was in the wilderness. And we do have some of the lyrics in our choruses, yes it is. They give a different perspective to the truth of the Word of God. And we do sing them because they're nice. And we sing along because everybody's singing. But no, rain down, what are we saying? The Holy Spirit's already come down. He flows in you. Out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. Are you with me here? At the realms of the Holy Spirit, you can still have an experience by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And you are in control of that, incidentally. See, you hear these things sometimes, I can't help it, prophets, I can't help. I get into the church, I can't shut myself up. No, that's not right. The scripture says that the spirit is subject to the man. Subject. You are in control of that. We can close him down or release him. We oughtn't to close him down. We should flow with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes it needs wisdom, and sometimes there's order, or there's adjustment, or there's a correction. The brother has shared this afternoon in relation to constitution. Every law, the law of every land has a difference in the constitution. Its application is very real. In the land where you are, which can be different. And I know this because I put in our father's house in Australia, put it into here. There's got to be amendments to flow with the law of Australia, and the law of New Zealand is different. And then the tax laws are different. So there's got to be adjustments to these things. So we can ideally set it up from one place, but when we go to another, there's got to be adjustment to that. You with me? Somebody else, you're going to say? Yes?
Now it seems like the blockage of us in the church Sunday mornings is worship is dry. And so I just sense the living water wants to flow for each person. It's just a program there and it just disrupts what God wants to do.
It can be, in which case you need to talk to your pastor or your spiritual leadership, whatever that is. There's nothing to hesitate. You just say, I'm just really concerned. It seems that God is prompting something and we're not flowing with it. Is there anything that we can do? Can we have a time in our choruses where we just wait upon the Lord? Can we do something? Is there something we can do to embrace the prophetic gifts or the words? Is there something we can do? Would you put us through a class and so that we can be nominated as people who flow in that you've got confidence in? You can get nutters in church. You probably come across some of them along the way. Sometimes pastors close up those prophetic times because of nutters or the fear that nutters are going to ruin this thing. Well, we don't. We're in control of that. We need to speak to it. If there is nutters, we need to wisely handle them so that they're not offended, but make sure that the word and the mind of God came through. If God spoke through the donkey because he couldn't get through to somebody in any other way, I mean, we've got to understand he's trying to speak. We need to make room for that. And some of our churches do not do that. And there's all kinds of reasons. Sometimes because there's been a muck-up in order. Sometimes it's been seen. Sometimes it's just been nutters. I go to a lot of places. I go, they ask me to come from the perspective of being a prophet. Others I'll go to, they'll ask me to come in to be as an evangelist. Other times I'll go in, there's an adjustment that needs to be made in the church. I'll go whatever is required for. But I don't go into a church that I don't know and just start to prophesy. I understand the respect, and I understand and have respect for who is the leader of the house or who is the leader of that environment. If I have something to say, then I will go to him. I'll go to Graham here and say, Graham, this is what's going on and your thing, but I've really got something that I'm burdened with here. Can I speak this out? And I might just even say to him, well, look, this is what God is showing me. It'll make sure that I'm not coming in conflict and cutting your thing apart. You can't do that. It's wisdom. Wisdom builds the house. Are you with me? If you want to know about wisdom, and it'd be a good one to go through, read Proverbs chapter 4. David speaking to his son Solomon. It's all about wisdom. Get it, love it, cherish it, look after it. All about wisdom. Wisdom of God. Any other quick questions? Sir?
Infilling.
Okay, infilling of the Holy Spirit. Well, when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was a infilling, if you wish. It was a deposit of God, if you could say that word. And of course, the release of that was that they began to speak in tongues. So the evidence of the baptism was that they spoke in tongues. We've had some error coming to the church through the charismatic move in the late 70s, early 80s. Which has put a wrong interpretation to some of these things. We get words like infilling versus baptism or top up compared. What are all of these things? We're either filled with the Holy Ghost, we're not. We're baptized in the Holy Ghost, or we're not. We're dead to ourselves, or we're not. The Holy Ghost is working through us, or he's not. I mean, where do you get these things? See, so get rid of the terminology, get back to Scripture. You with me here? There's all kinds of ways in which we can present the word. If I want to narrow it down or take away the edge or the fullness of something, we can change. You can change the teaching of the word of God. And I say that I probably was burdened with this a bit. I think a church in Bendigo mentioned to you, there for 8 years. One of the books that I've written over there, it's called I think it's called Foundational Truths or something like that. It's based on the doctrines of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 has 8 doctrines in it, and they are the basic doctrines that the church should be built on, which is repentance, faith towards God, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment, and perfection. Now, every church should be based on that. We have people come in from a variety of different churches that come in, and I found that they have all these different interpretations on these doctrines. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of them. And in those interpretations, I wrote the material is specifically to deal what is the truth of the Word of God. Now, anybody coming into the church and say, I'd love to be part of your church, and say, that's great. Well, I'm this and I'm that and I've done this and I've been that. That's great. What we need to do first is to take you through our kingdom principles. Kingdom principles is Hebrews chapter 6. 1 through 3 there, those first 3 verses, and it gives you the basic doctrines. And when they understand that, then we have the same doctrinal belief. We understand the belief, and the foundation is the same. Are you with me here? I think there's 15, maybe 20 now, 20 churches use my material for that, for any new people coming into the church, anybody that's getting saved, to make sure that the foundation is correct. The problem in a lot of places today is the foundation is unstable because it's not built on truth. It's built on maybe a misinterpretation of the word. So we can understand this. Is it okay? Is that helpful to you? These are important things. But I've put that series on. It's on video, DVD, and they use that so that the teaching is the same, and then there's a facilitation of it, and they facilitate that in their own environment, answer questions, etc. Okay, so we need to move on. We need to grab a hold of these things and see and understand that sometimes the pastor may close something down because there has been some awkwardness to deal with. As pastors, as leaders, as men in the house of God, we must be big enough if we're going to allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow, and we must, to see that we are prepared to deal with those as well. I teach in the flow of the gifts of the Spirit a lot. And I teach personal responsibility for that. If something's going sour and something's out of order in the church, I will speak to that straight away so that there's no disorder in the church or disunity. Is that okay? And we need to do that also. Final question for now. Yes.
The point between the charismatic churches are very good on believing in the gifts and that, and they claim to be operating, but can we operate really in the Spirit if we don't believe in speaking in tongues?
Well, there you are. That's probably a good question. And we're going to be here for about 3 hours. Are you okay there? Okay, well, we get back. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Baptism of the Holy Spirit has the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's the entryway. And I try to help us to understand, what are all these aspects of the Holy Spirit? Firstly, you have the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then touches into 13, 14. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gifts of the Spirit are evident there, and also into Romans, somewhere there, right? 8, I think. So the gifts, they are the gifts of the Spirit. And then you have the fruit of the Spirit. We call the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians chapter 6, is it? Galatians 6, 5, which is really character. So the fruit of the Spirit, that's the character of God. So that ought to be evident in our lives, that we should be growing into that all of the time. That's His character, demonstrating who He is to people everywhere, wherever which we are. Is that okay? So we have the realm of the Spirit. We're born again, born of the Spirit of God. We enter into the gifts of the Spirit because we desire to, and we function in that, and those gifts are given to us. And then we have the character of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character. And then the next one says that we finish this thing. If I was on a whiteboard here, we'd give you a whole lot and give you about 3 hours of teaching on it. But the next realm here is the ascension gift ministries, which is Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. They are given. They are mature ministries that will flow. They will be experienced ministries, but they will have an aspect of maturity to them. It's not usually a novice that would be an apostle. Are you with me here? I mentioned that Paul yesterday was an apostle to the Gentiles. He didn't become an apostle also overnight. He was converted overnight, but he didn't become an apostle overnight. And so you begin to see that. So you have ascension gift ministries. We call them gifted ministries. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. You have 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, interpretation, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, healing, miracles, faith, etc., etc. And then you have character, Galatians chapter 4, the character of Christ working within us. They are three good areas to have a look at and become familiar with when you're dealing with realms of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? And then Peter, 1 Peter tells us that the kingdom of God that's within us is like a little seed. It is an incorruptible seed that grows and grows and grows. So we have a responsibility to see that that kingdom seed that's been planted in our heart grows bigger, bigger, and grows bigger and bigger. We're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. So we should be growing and developing more as we progress. Is it okay? Yes? Yes? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Yesterday we touched a little bit on this aspect of grace. I'd like to carry on here for a moment if I could, and just to go through to another stage. And interesting to hear some other comments come through which are helpful too this afternoon. But here in 2 Corinthians, we saw yesterday, chapter 8, we read through and we saw how that grace abounded even their poverty. They abounded in liberality. The grace of God was effective in their lives. And then I said, if you'd like to follow through, maybe from verses 10 to 24, there's a bit of homework there. You could have a look at that. And then we come to chapter 9. I'd like to go into chapter 9 just to have a look here. There's principles here I'd like to bring to your attention and for all of us to, I trust, learn from and embrace today. Verse 1 says, "As for touching ministries to the saints, and it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know not the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia." In other words, he's out there, he's speaking about them, he's telling me how good they are as a people, as a group, as a church, etc. And I was ready a year ago, but your zeal has provoked very many. "Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they in Macedonia came with me, and they find that you are unprepared, that we say not you, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Let me just kind of paint a picture here in the background. Paul's about to visit this group of people, this church, if you like. He's coming. Before he comes, he sends somebody out ahead of him. And they're going out to make sure that the report that Paul has been giving to everybody wherever he's gone is still the same. And it is still a worthy report. And if he was to bring some of these people from the other places that he talked about, he's saying, I just want to make sure that your church is up to date with what I know it to be and what I've conveyed it to be. I just want to check it out. So he sends somebody ahead of him. Is that okay? That's what he's trying to say here. And then he gets down to verse 5 and he says, therefore, I thought it is necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, before me, but unto you, and make up beforehand a bounty. Wherefore, you had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as a matter of covetousness. What is Paul trying to say here? Paul is trying to say here, well, look, when you go and check the church out, have them make ready all that we need for before we come. The word bounty covers several things, and it does cover a finance as part of that, but it is more than that. It's a bigger picture than that. Make sure that thing that the people are ready to receive a blessing. Make sure they're ready to receive a ministry. Make sure that they're ready to receive what I have, and have them make ready what's necessary for us to receive from them. And therefore, he talks about the bounty. I don't want to get into that today, but to say this, what he was trying to say here, I don't want to come to preach for money. I don't want to come and say things that are just nice so that they give me a good, in our terms today, a good love offering. I want to be able to come and to speak the word of the Lord as it is. So make sure they have the bounty ready, and I don't have to compromise the word to make sure that I'm looked after with my finances, and so I can speak the truth. Are you with me here? That's what he's saying. That's virtually what he's saying here. So make sure I don't have to come and preach covetously. I don't want to preach to get the love offering, okay? And something I will never, ever have anything to do. I've had to deal with some ministry in the past that's been their purpose. I've had to sit them down and say, that's not on in this place. It's just not on. We're here to hear, to receive the word of God. And the people, whether they respond and how they respond and how we as a church or as a people or as a business, how we will respond, regardless. We want to hear the word of God, whether it be for adjustment, whether it be for edification, whether it be for building us up, or whether it be for adjustment in our lives. Are you with me here? So that's what Paul's trying to say here. So then sends them out. And then he goes on in verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. So now this is the principle I'd like you to look at for a moment. I had this incident, incidentally, over in Malaysia some years ago. There had been a fairly substantial church. They'd just broken into two churches. It was really a split. They covered that up well, but that's what it was. And the guy that had split away, and I didn't know anything about this, but I had to take the meeting of this second half church that had gone down to another place, not knowing or understanding what had gone on in that situation. Until he came to me the night before and he said, now, when you come into our church in the morning and you preach, I just want to ask you to make sure that in your prophetic word that you build the da, 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 da. And he went through all this kind of stuff. And your payment will be da 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 as a result. And I said, well, I'm sorry, brother, but I'm not in that. And no, I won't prophesy. In fact, what I'll do right now is that I'll restrain the gift. But if I flow in your meetings in the realms of the Spirit of God and in prophetic, you can be assured it's going to be a God word, whatever that is. But you get that kind of thing sometimes. It's the Balaam thing, really. Give me some money and I'll prophesy what you want to hear. No, no, God forbid, God forbid. But I'm sorry, it is out there. Anyway, he's saying here, he that sows sparingly shall reap. This is a principle to life. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, and don't do it out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Principle then, principle he's saying here, the basis of our sowing is going to be the basis of our reaping. We sow much, we reap much. We sow little, we reap little. It's a law. It's a divine law. But you don't. If you stop doing one or the other will stop. You stop sowing, you don't reap. You stop reaping, you have nowhere to sow. Are you with me here? You stop breathing, what happens? So you have air and you have breath. You breathe in what? Air. And you live. So you breathe it in, you breathe it out. And you keep living. Now stop breathing in air. And what will happen? You die. Principle. Exactly the same. There's a two-way, everything. It's a law. Giving and receiving is more blessed to than to. So you stop giving and then there's no. You stop receiving and then there's no giving. Same thing. It's a principle. So now he's saying, so we are now givers and receivers. We are now sowers and we are reapers. So he says the extent of our sowing and our reaping is going to be, firstly, it's a heart condition. Condition of heart. We'll see this in a minute tied into the aspect of grace. So as a man purposes his heart, let him give, not of necessity, or because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able. Everybody say able.
Able.
Hallelujah. This is Paul again. He said, God is able to make. Everybody say make. Make all grace. Everybody say all grace.
All grace.
Yeah, all grace.
All grace.
Oh, hallelujah. All grace.
All grace.
God is able to make all grace. Abound towards you. That word abound means to superabound, to have over an abundance of every aspect of your life, to superabound in all things. That's what he's saying here. The word abound, a little more than that. What's he trying to do? He's trying to help us to understand that God is greater. His grace abounds towards you. It gives us sufficiency in all that we do, in every good work that we do. He gives us more than enough. Don't stop doing good work. It's God's way of making himself known to people so often. Keep on doing it. You run out of resources. Continue to believe God. There's going to be more. Because you are the answer to the need of the people that you are around. So here he's giving his principle here. God is able to give. God is able to give his grace. He's able to give his grace, greater grace, more grace, abound towards us. What for? So that we have sufficiency. You say sufficiency. In what? In all things. Hallelujah. So that we have. How do we have sufficiency in all things? Because of the grace of God. Because of the grace abounding towards us. Principle then comes back to this. He says, in your sowing, make sure you sow bountifully and you will reap bountifully. And the grace of God will abound towards you, make you sufficient in all things that you do, wherever you are, in every good work. Wow, that's wonderful, isn't it? So what is this grace? Do we remember what this grace is? This grace is the divine ability of God to work on our heart or to influence the heart of man. So he influences my heart and changes it. He influences the heart of another to change it. Example. See, we're talking business here today. I told you in my earlier days, I was in managing a food distribution center in Ashburton. I was in there for 6.5 years managing that. And one day I had we'll call him a grocer, came into me, Foursquare grocer. Everybody know the good old Foursquare? Foursquare, he came into me. He came in, he had two stores, and he came in one day and he said, have you ever thought about having your own business? I said, oh, yes, I have. Would you like to have your own business? I could never afford that. He said, that wasn't my question. Would you like to have your own business? I said, well, that would be wonderful. He said, well, I've got a business down the road. It's my shop number 2, and I can't handle it anymore. My son doesn't want to take it over, so would you like to take over my business? I said, how much is that? He said, no money. You just go in, we'll do a stock take. Whatever the stock take value is, you just pay that off to me over 2 or 3 years. That's just great. Would you like the business? That's favor. That is God favor. So I took it. And went down and took over the shop. Changed it. This was the earlier days before you knew what wholesale groceries were to the direct to the public. because I've been on the wholesale side of business. I knew what you could make out of all of this and what you do on volumes, etc. And I changed it overnight and called it TD's Wholesale Groceries, direct to the public, and chopped the price of every product in the shop to wholesale. Foolish? You've got to know you're going to get an increase in turnover if you're going to do that. The turnover, 5 times within 3 weeks, and it stayed there. Yes! Favor of God. Favor of God. Where did the favor come from? Came from him. It's his favor towards me. No, it's God working on him to favor me. Are you with me? It's the grace of God. He will cause his grace to abound. All grace to abound. That we be sufficient in all things. That's his grace. There's a scripture here tied into this. You might want to just note it. I think it's in here. It is. It's in Proverbs chapter 11. And it says this. There is that scatters and yet increases. That's a contradiction, isn't it? Listen to that. There's him that scatters and yet he increases. So you give away, but you increase. Now, that's not the world kingdom. It's contrary to the world.
At
11:24. And then he goes on to say, and there is he that withholds more than he ought, and he tenders to poverty. So you want to know how to get poor quick? Hang on to everything you got. Is that what it says? That's what it says. But you want to know how to increase? Start giving what you got.
Amen.
That might be your time, might be your energy, might be your counsel, might be your wisdom, might be your support. Oh, dare we say it. Might be your finance. Whatever it is. These are the differences, see? This is the laws of God we're talking about, not the world laws that we get caught up in. Are you with me? So he's saying that then there's he that scatters, yet he increases, there's him that withholds as more than is it meet, and he tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall water also himself. I like that. Yeah? It's principle. It's principle based on the grace of God, based on the condition of the heart, and the ability to be able to give out what we have. Might be your ministry. As I said, it may well be your time. How many people could sometimes grow in their own business because you have given them time to help them maybe to move beyond where they are? Maybe time to have a look at their books and to check out and to see the profit and loss and to see whether there needs to be some adjustment here and how you can perceive a third eye is often a valuable eye because it's not guided by the emotion of anything else except the facts. And in our instance, the Holy Ghost. If your experience is something that you've got, somebody wants your experience. Somebody needs it. Are you prepared to give that? It's a heart condition. I don't have time. No, none of us have time. You can't manufacture time. You can't manage time. You can only manage yourself and your resources to help and to do the work of the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4 is all about. Is this helpful? Is this helpful? Well, there you are. Then he goes on more. And it is written then, he that dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and will multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us a thanksgiving to God for the administration of the service, not only to supply the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many in the thanksgiving unto God. was the experiment of this ministration. They glorify God for their professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. It's the grace. The grace of God. It's an amazing thing. It's not just a theological understanding or a topic or a subject to study. It's living within us as ought to be the Holy Spirit, because they're all tied into the same. Are you with me? Did this ever work? Let's just click over for a minute to the book of Acts. Can we do that? Just see how it worked here, because I find that what have we learned over time? What do we learn over history? Often we learn nothing. How many times do we do the same thing we've ever done and we expect to have a different result? Somebody has said that's insanity. So what do we learn from history? We learn that we learn nothing. If I go back to the early church and its establishing, and they were great days, people go on about, man, if we could just have the book of Acts again, you've got it. If we could just see what they did and do it now, you can. It was only the conditions of the day that made it any different to our day, and I'm not so sure that we would want that. Because the conditions of those days were they had just crucified Christ 40 days earlier. And now he had rose and he'd walked through the streets and shown himself unto many people, and the dead raised, and then they went into regret. It was so remorseful, the scripture tells us, that they started to beat themselves across their chest with such remorse of what they'd done now to this Christ that they had crucified and found that what he said was so right after all. And they beat themselves. And then Peter stands up and says, this is what you've done. And this is how you can get out of it. Repent and be saved. And 3,000 people get saved. Wow. Do we have to wait for our community, our society, our nation to be so in regret of something that we begin to turn back to God? Or can we begin to show and demonstrate God to the ones and the twos and the threes and to the multiples, that we might see a demonstration of the power of God? Is the church losing its edge? Is the church losing its day? No, it's not. Is it losing its numbers in places? But God's not finished yet. His work continues on. And as we pull in line with His grace, with His ability, with the unction of His Spirit, in obedience to His Word, obeying the truth of His Word, the church will come again. I remember preparing a message once on the truth. The illustration really is like going to court, isn't it? What do they say? Will you tell the are there 3 degrees of truth? Will you tell the truth? I mean the whole truth? I mean nothing but the truth? Come on. I think we've come up a little bit like that. I think we've told the truth, but not the whole truth. Anyway, here we see Peter out doing his ministry. And so on, we pick it up in verse 30. He says, by stretching forth your hand to heal, the signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. Everybody say one heart. I mean, you know, that's a good place to start. It's good to come into this environment and say there's really unity in the Spirit. It's good to hear that anybody that's got something to say about full gospel are saying the same thing. It's a pleasure. It's a while since I've been in an environment where I can hear that. There was one heart. There was one soul. Neither said any of them that the things that they had, that they possessed, were their own. But they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, ever say grace?
Grace.
Great grace was upon them all. And neither of them among them lacked. For as many who had possessions of lands and houses, they sold them, and they brought the prices of the proceeds, if you wish, that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to his need. And then in verse 37, having land, they sold it, they brought the money, they laid it at the apostles' feet. What did they do in the New Testament church? They saw the power of God, the demonstration of God. They saw for the first time the disciples doing miracles like Jesus did. They saw them preaching like they did. They became caught in this whole aspect of what God was doing to establish his church. So they came to the apostles and they laid at the apostles at their feet all that they needed to do to make sure that the gospel was spread and supported. Does that work? I don't know. You hear these statements saying the poor will always be with you. The poor will always be poor. You can pour your money on the poor, but they'll still be poor because they've never learned how to deal with it properly. I think there's a lot of truth in those things. However, there's a principle here that I'm trying to say. And that is here, he's saying that all things had all things in common. Now, if you have a look at this, what stopped this? What stopped the move of God? The actual move, this move here stopped in the next chapter by two people called Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira had promised that they would give to them proceeds from a land sale. And they came into the church, we'll call it church, to bring their proceeds in and to lay it there, but they withheld what they had promised. They withheld back from that. So Peter spoke to them, and we see that Ananias, who from Peter's words said, you've lied in your heart. And right there, he dropped dead. I mean, that was a good altar call. It was such a good altar call that his wife came up to join him. He said, I want to be on this. Where's my husband? They've just taken him through there. But while you're here, could you just tell me something? What did you promise? This? What did you agree between yourselves to give? Oh, this. So you've withheld? Well, you know. So you lied to the Holy Ghost too? Well, then you just follow your husband. Wow. And great fear came upon the people. That is an important scripture. Some years ago, I was talking to somebody who's from Invercargill. Bless you. That's right. It was in the 80s. I have not since then, other than the experience we've had in our own church, I've told you a bit about that. Seen a move of God that we saw in Invercargill on this occasion. I joined with two other ministries, were asked to go down to Invercargill. It was to be called a prophetic week, if you like, for the sake of making it simple. And three of us went down for the 6 nights of meetings. The church had fasted prior to our coming. And the purpose for us being there was to lay our hands upon people, to bring the prophetic word to the house, and to release people and to put different ones into leadership within that church. So we had the Friday night meeting, we had the Saturday meetings. There was no buzz, there was nothing kind of really happening. We went away that night, and we didn't roster ourselves on, it's your turn, it's my turn, it's your turn to preach. There was a respect for one another. We functioned together. If God gave us something, then we took the prominence in the ministry of the word for that night. It was Sunday morning, they were preaching the word of God, and God just spoke. He spoke me this word, actually. I didn't understand this then. He said, but these people have robbed me. I said, what do you mean by that? They've robbed me. So that afternoon, I went out on my own, and I got a hold of the Bible to see, what do you mean he robbed me? And I went back and I saw, what's the cloud, Achan, was it? In Jericho. God said, don't touch what? Silver, gold, garment, da da da. What did he touch? What did God say? Who did God say it belonged to? So what did Achan do? He robbed God. What did that do for Israel? It stopped them in victory. They went straight down from there and went to Ai, and they were destroyed by a small group of people that should not have hindered them in the way. God said, come back. Back, 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 back. Something's wrong. Clean it up. So they did. They went on. Victory. And you go through to, I can't remember all these now. I'm just kind of playing it off my mind. There is another one. Haggai. Somebody mentioned about Haggai. Somebody go, what's it talk about there? Consider your ways, for you have neglected my house. Therefore I withhold everything from you. You go to the book of Malachi, tithing. This whole nation has robbed me, so I bring a curse upon the land. Ananias and Sapphira, you stop the move. Every one of these, stop the move and the blessing of God. Every one. Then you get into the book of Revelation, the church of whatever. Laodicea, was it? He said, I want to counsel you to buy from me. Myself. The preciousness of the word. Stop the move. I preached it that Sunday night. While I was preaching somewhere over here, there was a screaming baby. Wouldn't quieten down. She was disrupting the meeting. So I walked down to find out where is this baby. To see whether we could just get some cooperation here. And I found out that there was no baby there on the floor. It was a fully grown woman. And she was crying like a baby. She was manifesting. So would you mind coming out here, sis? I'd love to pray for you. So we prayed for her. And she was set free. We got through that and then paused the meeting. So obviously something else that's in this house. All of those that are in oppression, that feel that you're bound, da-da-da-da, that we need to pray for you. Can you acknowledge that? 35 people came to the altar call, and the whole night was taken on deliverance in a Pentecostal church. And that started the next 5 nights. Meetings went as long as 1 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because when we were out to wind down the meeting about 10 o'clock or 10:30, the pubs closed and the drunks came in. And when the drunks came in, they took a seat and God just gave words of knowledge to each one of those lives. And they were set free from their drunkenness, from their depression, from all that they were bound by. God moved. But God did not move because of the principles that we're looking at here today. Withholding from God. Nothing belongs to us. He said, I've actually bought you. You're mine. Oh, what a shame. Some of our minds might need to be adjusted. These are God principles. But he deals with the heart. You and I can deal with these matters. God just wants to release. Oh, God, just God. We get so burdened. We cry out. Oh, God, that you would just move. I mean, that church cried out for months. They fasted and prayed that God would just bring this prophetic word and this prophetic team and just so bless the house. I tell you, bless the house, all right. But there was a hurdle to get through. And that was a mighty time. And I've not seen that again anywhere since. But I long for it. Amen. I sure long for it. So today, where are we in all of these matters? Where are you? I'm not going to get into any aspects of money here today. But I want to get into just the areas of our heart today. Understanding the word grace, the divine influence of God upon our heart. In our lives today, in any one of our lives, I want us just to search and say, oh God, is this a chorus we used to sing, isn't it? I can't sing. Me, oh God, and know my heart today. Is that what it is? Search me. Used to be my cry right back in the Baptist days. I used to say it was one of my favorite hymns. Search me, oh God. Know my heart today. And he'll do that if that's our cry. In doing that, the grace of God floods in on us. I'm asking about the Holy Spirit. It releases a dimension of the Holy. If there are blockages within us today, we can release them. The Holy Spirit can flow afresh and maybe in a new way. I sense today, and I sensed it for you, Graham, earlier today when you stood at the beginning of this meeting, that this is why I went even to the book of Genesis 26, which is the well of Reboth, the wide opening pathway. That God was going to create, he's created now fresh pathways. They're in enlarged pathways. He's enlarging your capacity for greater things and a greater carrier of the things of God. For this comes other places. You will hear in these coming days, you will hear of requests. Can you come? Can you come? Can you come? I see these intonations. God at this time and in this season is not just enlarging your capacity, but he's filling it with that which is going to be necessary to take and carry to some of these places. And according to whatever ability or freedom that you can give yourself to do, you should respond to those in making yourself too available to go. And in the contents of going, you will experience and see some of the things that you've even desired in your heart, and those things that we talk about today, you'll see a demonstration of those even at your own hands as you declare the word of God. God is going to give you a new sense of authority. That when you speak the word of God, as simple words or otherwise, they are not words of man. They're going to be sparked words of the Holy Ghost, which will carry the power of God. He's doing that for you right now. I need to say that because I want to say this to you. I believe God is wanting to enlarge your capacity. Firstly, as an organization, but secondly, as you individually, for the organization will not go beyond where it is unless God first touches us. Are you with me here today? And so I want to ask you to open yourself now for an enlarging of the Holy Spirit and for a flushing out, if I could use that word, of the wells of living water, that if there are blockages in your life, I want to ask you if you're prepared to let them go today. So that when you go from here today, it's going to be a new day. Because God has said in Isaiah, he said, I will do a new thing. For behold, I will do a new thing. The old things have passed away. Behold, I do a new thing. Now they shall, now they shall, now. That word now means, when is now? Could somebody help me when now comes? Oh, now. Is now is now? Is now is now. So now it shall spring forth. Yes, now. It can be now. Doesn't have to be tomorrow. It can be now. If we put behind us the things and now let God do a new thing, he'll do that. He will enlarge our capacity. He will allow a fresh flow of the Holy Ghost. You will experience a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. You'll be freshened in the Holy Ghost. You'll be strengthened in the Holy Ghost. You'll be renewed in the Holy Ghost. And you will be refocused in the Holy Ghost. And you will do new things. Hallelujah. As you go from this place. Because the power of God. God will touch you. Hallelujah. I'm trying to. Are you in for that? I mean, are you in for that? Well, time's just gone, so I'm sorry. Hallelujah. We just have some instrument playing quietly for a minute. Let's just get our head into God's space right now. Thank you. Let's open our hearts to him. We could move into a flow of prophetic. And right now, I don't want to do that. I think God wants to do something with us corporately, and so I'm going to ask you for your response in these matters, but let's just be open to Him. I'm going to ask you to be honest before Him right now. Search my heart, O Lord. Know my heart within. We're men here today. We're leaders. God wants to charge us afresh. Hallelujah. Just ask Him right now, search your heart as I ask Him to search mine. It's carnal things, fleshly things. Our ways, maybe it's going to require some adjustment, then so let it be. His grace will be sufficient for you. But I want to ask if you today just sense that within your own heart there's a blockage. You're unable to flow, connect with God and the realm that you want to do. I'm going to ask if you just come to the front here today. We're just going to believe God for a fresh release. If you're in bondage in any aspect of your life, then yield that to Him. He says, to whom you yield yourself to, you become a servant of. It's yielding ourselves now to His Spirit. Can be a real meeting time for you and God today. I can't manufacture that. I can only respond and work with Him.